You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 7th, 2019. And big announcement this week, we're changing platforms and going to MySpace.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Chester.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a series been on humorous conversation about video games. I was out last week getting my face removed. Now I'm sick. I'm just...
getting your face off?
It's been a rough couple weeks for yours truly, but I'm here. I'm here to talk about Ninja.
Oh boy.
And ninjas in general. So while we... What, ninjas are cool, dude.
I mean, we came up through college at a time when I feel like we were at peak ninjas. Like it was like when ninjas were funny in a non-ironic sense, and then they became funny in an ironic sense. Like, remember like Dr. McNinja, like one of the earliest web comics, stuff.
Do I remember Dr. McNinja? Yeah.
Pirates versus ninjas was like a debate that we didn't even groan about. Like, we actually had the debate in a spirited way. Like, those are more innocent times, is what I'm saying.
They'll have their comeback. They'll have their turn.
That's true.
So recently it was announced that Ninja, if you don't know who Ninja is, he is one
then you're like me.
Then you're like Scott, or you're over the age of 35. Ninja is one of the top gaming streamers on Twitch, and he recently made the decision to leave Twitch and stream exclusively on Mixer. Now, if you don't know who Ninja is, you almost certainly don't know what Mixer is.
Yeah, there's the Venn diagram of people that... I want to meet the people that know what Mixer is, but don't know who Ninja is.
Yeah, Mixer is a streaming platform very similar to Twitch that is owned and operated by Microsoft. I think it's pretty old at this point, right? Like, it launched years ago, but it just never feel like it really picked up steam or kicked off.
Yeah. I mean, it's a... I think it was an acquisition, and... in classic Microsoft way, they acquire these companies and then slowly fold them into their technology stack. And now, and like many other technologies, they're finally kind of bringing it into a more top tier view of like the Microsoft product suite.
Right. That's right. So I think in an effort to make a big positive change for Mixer and change the, I guess, the connotations that that platform has around it, I assume they paid Ninja an obscene amount of money to stream exclusively on Mixer for an undetermined amount of time. So we don't know, one, how long he is locked into this deal to stream exclusively on Mixer, nor do we know how much Microsoft has paid him.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing a little bit of, napkin math before we started the stream, but let us speculate.
As to how much it costs?
Well, because, I mean, if you think about... Because what do we say? Like, there are articles out there that claim that Ninja makes, what did you say, $500K a month or something like that?
Yeah, something around like $18 million a year.
$18 million a year.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know this for a fact, but Twitch wasn't paying him any kind of retainer, right? Like, he was just using the platform in the standard but extreme, like, monetized way.
Correct. Unless they paid him to, say, go to specific events or participate in specific streams, right? Like, Twitch, for example, launched their Twitch Rivals program. I wouldn't be surprised if Ninja at some point was paid to participate in that, or maybe it was orchestrated through, you know, a publisher or third party. I mean, that's why it's so hard to know how much money these Twitch streamers make, is because a lot of the money that they make is more than just whatever their share of the subscription base is, right? Like, a lot of these guys are sponsored. They have sponsored headsets. They've got sponsored clothes that they wear on stream. They have sponsored streams. They attend actual events. And then people that are at the tippity top, like Ninja, have merchandise, and they sell shirts and hats and mugs and fucking mouse pads and stuff like that. So,
which is theoretically just all theirs, right? Like, it's like if a band sells a shirt, like he's not paying Twitch for the shirt sales, right?
Correct. Yeah. Unless he's got some sort of third party shirt salesman.
Yeah, a lot of the Threadless Tees is really like rolling in the dough for him. I mean, so That's $18 million a year just on subscriptions. So you got to believe that he is able to negotiate some sort of almost like minimum where he could be like, hey, if I just stayed put and did nothing more, I could probably get at least more than $10 million for at least the next couple of years, like unless people really abandon me or something. So they have probably just to buy in, you know, like like the table stakes are just, okay, here's just a guarantee. It's kind of like an athlete. Like when they go to a new team, you have guaranteed X number of million dollars, regardless of whether you break your ankle and never play a game.
Yep.
And so there's probably something like that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that there's some specific amount. Like I'm sure there's a, you know, maybe they're saying, hey, for every subscription you get, you'll get 70% of the subscriptions or 80%. Right. Or maybe it's like, you know what, you get all of it and keep it all for the first year, or the first 2 years or whatever. I think I would have to say minimum $50 million.
50. Woo!
I mean, genuinely speaking, I don't know. Maybe that's too much. But here's the thing,
that puts him higher than most athletic endorsements by various standards.
But here's my thinking thought process, right? If he makes $18 million a year on Twitch, right? There's no way that Microsoft is saying stream exclusively on Mixer, but only for a year, right? Because that would be bad. It'd be horrible for him to come over to Mixer, stream on that platform exclusively, and then after a year say, actually, you know what? This platform fucking blows. Back to Twitch, baby. Like, that's not going to happen, right? And they don't want to risk Twitch scalping him back by Twitch offering a higher, more competitive exclusivity deal, and then you're in some fucked up bidding war, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I would say if it were... I don't know how Mr. Businessman feels about this, but if Mr. Businessman is going to contract Ninja, how many years do you write into that contract, right? Minimum three, I would think, but more.
It has to be, right? Like, I mean, even athletes have multi-year contracts. Like, you can't possibly, it can't be a year.
So right. Like, so let's say Tyler the Ninja Blevins is contracted to stream for 5 years. Even 3 years, 3 years on Mixer, right?
Yeah.
They need to make sure that his income is at least comparable to $18 million a year, which is approaching $60 million for that three-year contract, right?
Right.
Makes a lot of sense to me then that $50 million is actually within the ballpark.
Right. I wonder if they did something where, because with a company like Mike, well, actually, Twitch is owned by Amazon, so they could offer the same incentive, but like maybe they could also offer him Microsoft stock. That shit's expensive. Like Microsoft trades at like $100+ a share or something like that, and it's not going it's not going down. Like unless the nuclear war happens, like Microsoft is always going to be a profitable company. So I wonder if they have more flexibility there, or there's like accelerators where you come to Mixer if you can make us X number more. You know, daily active viewers, or if you bonuses. Can get your subscriptions to X level, we will accelerate this and then you can make even more, you know. I can imagine something like that happen, because you also don't want to, you want him, but you also want whatever you think he's gonna bring in terms of innovation and like bringing a new audience. So you don't want him to come over and just mail it in for 3 years, you know, like there has to be something to like
hey guys, you know, me, I'm streaming My Little Pony Adventures again.
Right, it's like I'm still working on this online Sudoku. I'm just gonna sit here quietly for a while. I mean, there has to be something, you know.
That's a good point.
Maybe the $50 million is not when you said it, it's such an outrageous amount of money. You're like, just what? Period. Where it's like, but then you break it down that way, and I would say the on target earnings, you know, of your potential bonuses and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, maybe $50 million does sound right for multi-year, like for a multi-year contract. 5 year thing. Yeah,
it's a weird thing, right? Like, at what point it's taking a step back, right? The idea is that Microsoft has a new console coming out next year, allegedly. I'm sure, will integrate direct streaming to Mixer, maybe unification of the accounts, like really just trying to make it a better ecosystem for you to broadcast your gameplay, right? So they want to prep the space in a way for, one, the influx of broadcasters, and two, the influx of streamers and then viewers of that content, right? So you bring Ninja over and he's acting as a sort of figurehead, right? Like, you're saying, hey, look, here's a guy that is super popular. plays a ton of Fortnite mostly, so you're getting largely Fortnite fans, but hugely popular dude, which also is a younger demographic, interestingly enough. And hey, you know what? Maybe is the demographic they're aiming for the console as well. So maybe there's like a sort of a double dip there in terms of... And the other question too, by the way, going back to the money amount, is how much mandatory promotion around the new console or Microsoft titles is this going to be? Like, did they tie into this and say, hey, you know what? 60 million, but you have to play the next Halo game on Mixer.
You have to go back to what birthed you, Halo.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Anyway, so is I guess what I'm getting at is, like, let's say you're Microsoft and you're wanting to do this. Is Ninja enough? Like, how much do you have to actually do here? Or should you be bringing in more people? Like, I guess my question would be, if it were up to you, would you go after Ninja, or would you go after, say, three of Twitch streamers who make up, say, one third of Ninja's audience each?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the simple answer from Microsoft is probably we have to do both, but I think it's super smart to set a goal of we're going to poach the top streamer.
Yeah.
Not one of the top streamers, not a few of the biggest ones, but just it's like we're going to recruit Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That's our goal. Like, and it's like, what? Of course. Who would even do that? Who would try to do that? And yet they went out and did it.
Yeah, because you're building a brand, not a team, right?
Exactly.
It's like if you were to bring Michael Jordan and he's playing with the Harlem Globetrotters.
You're drafting an entire Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah, you're going to face down those Washington Senators. I don't know. Like, I think you need, if you want to get the most, like the broadest audience, you basically need to shoot for the top, because as we have seen, the curve drops so fast after the top, 10 to 50 streamers or something. Like, how many can you name offhand in the same way that someone could name a celebrity or name an athlete or something like that? The curve just drops really fast, and so it's like you kind of have to go for the top at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, the relative impact of the top people is going to be significantly greater, right? So when you grab Ninja, you're not just grabbing his audience, you're grabbing, you know, like the larger chunk or share of what Twitch sees as their top audience.
Right.
But, like, I don't think you paying Ninja to come over and stream from Mixer is going to convince Dr. Disrespect or Shroud or Lyric or any of the other top Twitch streamers to then come over to Mixer too, right? Like, it's not like everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. Like, this isn't a strategy to bring over streamers. If anything, it's really just a strategy to bring over viewers and hope they stick around, or at the very least see why they might want to participate in the Mixer environment, because it is different than Twitch in some notable ways.
Do you not think, though, that Dr. Disrespect benefited from having Ninja also on Twitch?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, if they're streaming at the same time, probably not.
There has to be some sort of tacit Cold War agreement amongst the top streamers of, like, hey, don't mess with my time slot. I won't mess with your... Like, there has to be something
I don't think so, because some of them will stream together, you know? Or stream against each other, because that itself will get an audience, right? Like, if you end up playing against Ninja in a game of Apex Legends or something, you know? Or they figure their audience is different, right? Like, Fortnite... Ninja predominantly plays Fortnite.
Yeah.
When you're talking about getting the viewership of folks who do not play Fortnite... Like, let's say you play Apex Legends, or you play Battlefield, you play whatever hot shit is currently out on the games space, and Ninja is still playing Fortnite, then you're not competing against each other anymore, because the people who want to watch Fortnite will go and watch Ninja, and the people who want to watch something else will go and watch those other streamers.
It just seems like a classic rule from old television, where you want to be the show right after Seinfeld. Like, you want to, because, like, you will get the residual audience of that stream. And so it seems like if I was a streamer on Twitch, I would want to be adjacent but not directly opposite to the zones that Ninja is operating in, because, oh, maybe my channel becomes a suggested channel, or maybe Ninja sees me because, you know, some of our audience comes, like, maybe part of my audience comes over to his audience and they mention my name or something like that.
Well,
like,
I mean, you can raid on Twitch, right? So, like, if anything, Ninja ends a stream and then he literally sends everyone over to another channel. I don't think he's sending people over to huge successful channels. Like, generally, these guys will send them to, like, smaller channels or people that they know personally that they consider friends, you know?
Right.
It's, just, it's a weird ecosystem. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't behave in the way that classic television behaved, you know?
Yeah.
And
it just seems like in the corporatization of it would bend it towards that. Because it seems like if... The other thing, too, is just a kind of keeping up with the Joneses, where, like, if Ninja does it, then there will automatically be more people over there, which may start a virtuous cycle of more high-profile creators also doing it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true, right? Like, the one thing I would say is that it benefits people to have Ninja streaming on that platform is more likely than not, if you're watching Ninja and you're watching on Mixer... I mean, if you're already on the platform, you're much more likely to stay on that platform, right? That's true of any social platform or viewing platform, right? People don't generally like to leave where they are on the internet. So if you're on Mixer and watching a stream and Ninja wraps up his stream, you are in a non-insignificant way more likely to click on another Mixer broadcast than you are to type in twitch.tv and then go back to your normal platform.
Right. I mean, that's why I think it's smart of Microsoft to go after him, because he just has the most inertia, like, to keep and hold people on a platform. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, we're going to install him on ours and hope that that inertia benefits us.
Yeah.
You know, people won't go back. But I mean, like, it's also strange because this isn't, they're not fighting against some upstart company. So it's almost like we just need to get as many people as possible versus, you know, out innovating or trying to shut them, our competitor down. It's like they're competing in a much more, they're enlarging the entire circle versus like, you know, necessarily just trying to put someone else out of business, because you're never going to put Twitch out of business unless Amazon puts it out of business, you know, because they're just not going to run out of money.
Unless Jeff Bezos wakes up one day and is just like, you know what?
I'm done. Fuck it.
I'm done. Shut it down, boys.
This whole internet thing was fun. I'm turning it off.
Oh, God. One could secretly hope that's what Jeff Bezos decides.
Save us, Jeff. Save us from your own creation.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was interesting about the story was that the way that he filmed this, like, pseudo commercial.
Yeah.
That was like a sporting event. But the way that he talks about it is like, oh, I'm excited to go and experience what it was like to be new again, you know?
Yeah. Or like, you know, one whole year ago.
I think he says something like going back to his roots. But it's like, what? Right. Like, you still have so many millions of followers. I'm not sure, like, I understand it. But I mean, one thing going back to the dollar value that I thought was interesting was, what, not too long ago, in some interview, or maybe it was on his broadcast, Ninja mentioned that he doesn't get to see his wife very often because he feels all of this pressure to stream and broadcast on Twitch, and so he's always broadcasting for, like, extremely long hours, right? Like, a lot of the top Twitch streamers, one of the ways they got there when they lucked out was they were just broadcasting for a long fucking time, you know, and building up viewership because people wanted to watch Fortnite or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so... I wonder if also it's partly this, like, decision motivated by saying, like, maybe the platform or the incentives on the Twitch side are such that it's unhealthy for me to continue to broadcast at the same level that I am, you know?
Right. Well, and it's Mixer's opportunity to give those top streamers kind of an exit ramp where it's like, we know you cannot do this Twitch thing forever because you're a human.
Yeah.
So come to our platform. We'll incentivize you to do different types of things. Like, maybe you're not just streaming, but you try to do what some other streamers have done, which is get into more, like, traditional, like, short form production or Ninja interviews, you know, Ninja interviews X, Ninja interviews the up and coming streamer.
He's,
like,
buzz with Drake.
I mean, Ninja and Drake go on a drive together, you know, like, whatever. Like, it just seems like that is still
influencers and cars getting coffee.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. God.
They're both on their phones. It's the most dangerous documentary we've ever filmed. I think if I was the Microsoft people, I would be pitching, like, this is a place where you can't pitch them on you're going to get rich because they're already rich. You can pitch them on, here's a way that you can still be creative and also have a life.
Right.
And maybe that's an incentive to be like, do you want to do other creative things and not have to stream for 12 hours a day and maybe do something that takes a couple weeks and needs a crew and, you know, has different resources attached to it. And that's something that maybe for these people that have been established, it's alluring where it's like, oh, I can go back to my roots in so much that I am trying out a new thing versus, you know, to coin or to paraphrase his best friend, starting from the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, right? Like, I think the idea of having that opportunity of producing a different type of content, because,
yeah.
I mean, look, Mixer is fine and all, but realistically, Twitch just doesn't have any competition. Like, there's no streaming competition. Yeah. The competition against Twitch is YouTube and Netflix, you know? Like, that's it. It's not, there's no really other real a horse in that race. I think if there was a platform like Mixer where there were different tools of engagement or different, like if it was just a different viewing experience, if it wasn't just more of the same, then I could actually see it being really interesting to have that different kind of environment, right? Where if you're a successful streamer and you're very personality driven and you're finding an opportunity to be maybe a bit more creative or strategic with like how you're broadcasting and using Mixer as a platform versus just broadcasting a purely length of time on Twitch and that's what's rewarding you, then I could see that being really interesting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that going back to Microsoft's long play, it's like you, at a certain point, you just want people on the platform so you can serve them ads and harvest their data.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter if the people on the platform are watching a stream or watching a pre-recorded segment or watching an interview or whatever. The point is that they're engaged on the platform and not engaged anywhere else, and you're harvesting all of that information. So for them, it's like, okay, maybe we won't get all the streamers, but we can use the streamers as an entry point to just build out an alternative media platform that will keep people in our ecosystem.
Yeah. I also,
I think that stuff is super interesting because like for me, like I can only watch so much streaming video games. Like sometimes I want something different. Like I want a narrative or I want like a Q&A session or something like that. And I think Twitch is branching out, but I don't think it was never like an explicit mission kind of from the top. It's been kind of these weird like innovations here and there.
Yeah.
And I think that Microsoft has an opportunity to like take the top creatives and tell them, go be creative. Like we'll pad you with money. Just go do it.
It's interesting though. Like I guess I'm curious how you watch people play games online. Like, do you watch YouTube videos of Let's Plays? Do you go to Twitch? Like for me, I mean, I'm right there with you, right? Like there's a lot of content that I consume on YouTube that is like clear and crafted content. But most of the time when I'm watching something on Twitch, it's because I'm doing something else. Like Twitch gets a lot of viewership hours. But if we were to say track eyes, how many of those viewership hours have the eyes actually watching the screen, you know?
Right.
Like, I can tell you right now, it's
background secondary.
Oh, absolutely. For me, it absolutely is. Like, when I have something on my second screen and that's a Twitch broadcast, I'm almost never watching it. Like, I only look over. I mean, the one exception would be, like, competitive esports events where, like, I'll actually commit. But even then, sometimes I'll only look over when the shoutcasters start yelling, like, oh, my God, you know, because then I know something exciting is happening.
Right. I mean, for me, and maybe this is just my attention span or something, but if it is something like a stream and there's not much happening because they're like, if the action is the video game itself, like I think it's interesting watching him play a video game because he seems to be really good at Fortnite. I don't think it's not as interesting for me to just listen to him because I don't really find him that compelling.
Okay.
Like if I'm doing harsh.
Tyler, if you're listening, he doesn't mean that.
Shots fired. Yeah. I mean, it's not like this is my bigger critique of a lot of like YouTubers in general. It's like I'm not quite sure what is alluring to them other than the fact that they're pretty good at this game and can also somewhat like talk at the same time.
He's got blue hair.
I just don't find the stuff that he talks about super interesting, so it's not a second screen experience for me. But if he was doing a thing where like I'm gonna play with you know Tim Sweeney of Epic or something, then I would be interested because there might be something interesting happening, you know?
Yeah,
like so much of the streaming stuff feels like and again, this is dating ourselves, but it feels like an extension of Justin TV, where like you're basically just watching someone's life kind of, and for the most part, it's pretty boring.
Yeah.
And see, so like, unless...
I mean, at this point, we've like cracked into the can, right? Like, this is where all the worms live, you know?
Right.
Like, why do we enjoy watching other people play games? You know, and that's a different pod. That's probably a series of podcasts because...
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think for some people, it's a lot of things, right? For some people, it's a way to sort of pseudo have a friend.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know? I definitely watch it. So I won't put myself above that. Like, I am, as I've said many times before, like, the most streaming I watch is from Giant Bomb.
Yeah.
And it is because it's like pseudo friendship. Like, I'm watching these people that I've watched for literally a decade. Like, it's like the same. Like, we have a very small version of that with us, where like every once in a while we'll meet someone who listens to the show, or someone will write in, and they all say like, I kind of feel like I know you guys, even though we've never met before.
Right.
And that's exactly why I watch streamers. It's just that, you know, some people you click with and some people you don't. And it is kind of this weird one-way friendship.
I mean, I like to think that we're having a shared conversation here. That is not always the case on Twitch. I mean,
right.
I don't know. Some of the people that I watch on Twitch are funny, right? Like, they're enjoyable for that reason.
Yeah.
It's interesting looking at the big guys, though, because in a weird way, like, there's less engagement. I can see the value of participating in a stream in chat, and you're talking to the person one-on-one, and there's a sense of engagement there that you can't really get on other viewing platforms because they're not there with you.
Right.
At the same time, when you get to a certain level like Ninja, it half the time is them just thinking, oh, thanks for the subs, thanks for, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, it's notification alert going on, right? Or they're commenting on something that people are having with the conversation with like some crazy mod that's been there for years or what have you, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I don't know, it's not this, it's not, it doesn't feel like a personal connection.
Yeah.
In a way that I think some other types of broadcasts can, you know?
Yep.
And I
but
think
the key difference, though, is that you can still either, you can interact, or you can delude yourself into thinking that you're interacting because there is a chat thing, because every once in a while you might get a shout out, or, you know, there's a 1 in 5 million chance that someone would shout your name out or something. So like, there's still that hope, you know?
I mean, half the time I watch a Twitch stream because they're playing good music. And it's just fucking Spotify for me, you know?
Right. Spotify with, like, if you need to zone out and watch a game for a while, you can switch back over to that window.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or I'm watching someone, and to be fair, in Ninja's case, right, he's very good. There's certainly a group of people that watch because it's aspirational, you know? So.
Yeah, that's true. Or you're trying to learn. Like, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, we're getting back to, like, use cases. Like the use case for watching is, like, they're personally entertaining, or you feel some sort of personal connection, or maybe there is a mechanical admiration of like how good they are at the game, or maybe there is a human interest angle where they're interacting with other interesting people. I think Microsoft has the opportunity to define those a little bit more, because they are playing from a position of not first place.
Yeah.
And so they can try to do some different things. I mean, I think half this just boils down to my love of like weird public access and like shitty cable channel TV shows, where like just people trying weird stuff, but in a more structured way. Like, I think that is just like a super interesting, streaming feels kind of like that now. And I would be interested to see what these top streamers can do if they're kind of, you're removing them from this like crazy golden treadmill that they're on. Like, they're on this golden treadmill of like, the more they stream, the more money they get, but they kind of have to keep doing the same thing because that's what works.
Yep.
And so like, Microsoft's way is like, okay, we're going to remove the treadmill, and in return, you're going to give us some interesting things, and we'll make sure to support you, you know, and the lifestyle you've become accustomed to.
Yeah. Yeah. You're totally right. I mean, for one, at least I'm glad that there's some level of competition, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we'll see
and also like Stadia is going to come out too.
Say,
so like,
exactly
there's
right.
going to be Stadia.
Well, and Stadia had those really interesting demos where people could engage with the streamer in literally in the game, right? Where there's some more built-in API functionality. With that, Twitch has done a couple of times, but it's kind of an uphill battle. And I think maybe because Google has a stronger connection with studios, maybe we'd be able to do it on the development side. I don't know.
Yeah. It is interesting that the I guess maybe it's not surprising, but the developer and streaming platform interaction on Twitch hasn't been more extreme. And maybe that's just because they're not in the, they're not also a gaming platform. Like, they're a streaming platform, but they don't also make games, so that they don't have to have the, like, the infrastructure to effectively interact with game studios to, like, make exclusive deals or, you know, truly understand what people would want from a game. But I think that's where, like, that's where Microsoft is actually strongest. Like, they, Phil Spencer and all the executive suite has aggressively gone after studios, sometimes outright buying them. And now they're going to have this, they're going to have the other end of the funnel too, which is the streaming part of that. Yeah. So I don't know, like, every time we have one of these conversations, the more I think about what a strong potential position Microsoft is, what a strong position they're in going into the next console cycle.
Yeah. Which is bonkers, like, from 2 years ago, right?
Right. Which is bonkers from basically the launch of the Xbox One. Like, it was a disaster out of the gate. And now every time we have one of these big industry conversations,
you're like, I'm kind of jazzed.
Yes. And you're thinking Microsoft is doing innovative things, seems to have the strongest tech, seems to have the clearest vision for what is happening, and they're just poised to have everything go right. Yeah. And so it's fascinating to see all of these, they're just setting up so many moves, they're setting up so many dominoes, and we're about, you know, I don't know, a year away from seeing if all that stuff actually falls the way that they're trying to make it fall.
Right. Yeah, first they took Ninja. Who's next, man? The world.
When are we going to get our Mixer contract? what do we have to do?
Oh, my God. Probably start broadcasting on Mixer, number one.
Oh, my God.
That takes too much time.
I was about to say, unless I have a great... I mean, maybe that's the other thing, too, where, like, it would be so fun to put these guys up and let them curate or, like, handpick a couple no-names. It's like Ninja and no-names, where he just, like, picks somebody. And, like, that's... Again, that goes back to Microsoft's thing where it's like anyone could be a star on our platform. Ninja could pick you. And It's just another thing to get people onto it. I mean, it's just there's so many angles that you could do with someone this big and also the technology to back it, which they clearly have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, interestingly, I was reading this Verge article earlier today and they were saying that there's some rumors that they are also courting other folks on the Twitch platform. Yep. So I would not be surprised if a few other people got scalped.
I wonder when Bill Gates is going to get on Mixer.
Didn't fucking, what's his face? Mark Zuckerberg did live broadcasts on Facebook, you know? So.
Oh, yeah.
He did maybe the Facebook Live gaming stuff. Will start stealing people away.
I mean, that's another platform. We don't really talk about it that much, but Facebook definitely has a huge live streaming infrastructure. And they have all the VR stuff, so they're clearly at least gaming adjacent. Like, that's another...
They don't seem quite as poised as Microsoft is.
Well, they're trying to, you know... take down Western democracy. They have things to do.
Yeah.
You know, Microsoft just wants to make some cool games and some cool streams.
There's Russian oligarchs to appease, Scott.
Yeah. I would watch Bill Gates live stream himself playing Minesweeper.
He's probably very good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they should live stream him doing all of the early Windows video games. Like, see how fast Bill Gates can win at solitaire.
I don't think this is going to bring the Fortnite audience, but, you know, go for it.
Yeah, it'll bring the olds. The Fortnite audience's parents want to see some high-level solitaire.
That's true. We got to bring them all in.
All right, everyone. We will leave it there. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. If you want to give us $50 million for any reason, let us know.
We'll set up a P.O. box. It'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be easy.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.